just be the start of a dynasty. This is history being written. The greatest moment I've seen in Premier League football.
Hey, welcome back to Across the Pond, English Premier League hosted by four Americans. This is not Chris Bowerbank's voice. This is Shea Davis. My takeover of the pod has officially started.
Hey.
but I'm joined by Peter here in D.C. Chris is on the phone, but he's too busy with NPR stuff, so he can't dedicate all his time to us. And we got Miles in our international correspondent down in Argentina. How you guys doing?
Holding it down.
Yeah?
I mean, I feel like there's been a mutiny. What is this?
Well, Chris, I would say don't get used to it, but you probably should. I think this is the start of good things for us.
I think we're going to start getting some good reviews now.
Guys, also, this is a special moment, a big podcast for us, as it is Chris's birthday.
Hey.
Happy birthday, Chris.
Feliz cumpleaños, man.
I hate birthdays, man. But I will say this.
That's solid.
For my birthday this year, I got a world-class keeper signed at Liverpool, amongst some other great signings this summer. I know Peter's over there with a frown because I know he's still salty about the Fabinho signing. So, nevertheless, it's been a good year for me.
Matic is better than Fabinho.
Without a doubt.
Said it.
But this is Chris's moment. So, Chris, what else have you has been a great moment from your birthday?
I went whitewater rafting, got launched off the raft today. I watched a pretty boring Liverpool preseason ICC match against Dortmund. Lost 3-1 thanks to a couple precarious blunders. What's new? I mean, same old biz.
Well, it's not the big birthday yet, but you're one year away. But I will say and I've been thinking about this because I every time we talk about blunders on the show, I always remember when Chris said, Africa has never hosted a World Cup. This was right after South Africa hosted the World Cup, so that is my Chris moment.
I don't know about that.
That is an Africa, Chris. That's an Africa.
Dude.
That's some Sarah Sanders. My favorite Chris moment on this podcast is just all the times he predicted Liverpool to beat United in the league, and it's been a minute since that happened. So,
this is a roast Chris session, okay?
Miles, yep. It's like a roast.
Guys, I love you, bro. I'm going to take it off the podcast because, you know, we know Chris. You know, we don't, like, our friendship extends a little farther than the podcast. And I think my favorite thing about Chris is things that, you know, the listeners don't know too much about. That's that. You know, Chris is an excellent rapper.
This is true.
That
Shay,
might be deleted.
Shay, you and I went to a show.
I've got a silky voice.
Open at the Blind Pig, man.
Hey, listen. We
laid it down, dude.
He did lay down. I have pictures. If you want to see pictures, if you want to listen to the audio, tweet at me. I have it all saved in my iPhone.
What was it called again?
Silky voice.
Yeah, what was the group called
again? It's great. I mean, I don't know, Chris. I don't know why you don't put some more of those songs in the episode.
London Homicide. Man, I remember that from like high school.
London Homicide.
Wow. Oh, that's
crazy. Miles, thank you for bringing that back. Chris may delete that off the show because, yeah. So let's jump into it, guys. The World Cup is over. My days are now a lot more productive, unfortunately. But the good news is we have the Premier League coming up, right? And with that, we have the transfer window and a lot of moves being made. In the last 2 weeks, Mahrez go to City. We talked about that last week. Ali Son going to Liverpool, which Chris mentioned, amongst many others. So I want to get you guys' thoughts here. You know, are there any shockers that you've seen from, you know, Jorginho going to Chelsea or Wilshere going to West Ham? You know, what about this transfer window has appealed to you?
Yeah, for me, Jean-Michel Seri, the Ivorian from Nice, signing with Fulham. You know, I thought he was going to go to Chelsea or even, like, I think a year ago, Xavi was talking about him being his replacement at Barcelona, and Fulham pulled him up for, you know, I think it was 30 mil. But for a newly promoted team, I think that's probably like a huge statement signing for them.
Yeah, you know, I got to say, you know, especially after a season of lots of transfers last year, seeing West Ham again making tons of transfers, different from last season where they're bringing in all like these old heads that I can't even believe people would want to sign, to like bringing in Yarmolenko from Dortmund. I think bringing Wilshere is a good move. I mean, they have a lot of transfers in though, and that's something that kind of concerns me because their team was really, you know, up in the air last year trying to figure out you know, how to play all these guys together. You know, bringing in more signings isn't necessarily for me, you know, it's not necessarily the fix, but it'll be interesting. You know, they obviously have a good squad and it's only getting better.
Yeah. Well, the number one signing they made, Miles, was signing Pellegrini as the manager.
Yeah.
The fact that they can get a Premier League winning manager to coach West Ham, I mean, that's pretty significant, right? So that should not go under the radar at all.
Watch out for Issa Diop. I think he's the type of player that I see in like a season or two being linked to the Chelsea's and Man City's of the world for like 50, 60 mil. Like, he is a solid center back based off of FIFA.
Yeah, but again, I mean, I still think I'm not really buying the West Ham hype. You know, I still think there's a lot of signings in there that, you know, really won't have time to adapt. You know, we've seen the issues at West Ham. I think one of the bigger signings of the summer that hasn't really been talked about is Rui Patricio joining Wolves. You know, this is Portugal's starting keeper. He's only 30 years old, and it hasn't really been settled on a figure yet. But adding him to that roster, you know, a Wolves team that ran away with the championship last year under Nuno, I think they could be a solid team this year. I'm thinking, you know, maybe 9, 10, 11 in the table.
Yeah, Wolves, you know, not only with Rui Patricio, but Ruben Neves, who they bought last year from FC Porto, great player. And then I just recently read that they're linked with João Moutinho. So, you know, I mean, they're basically just signing, Portuguese players. But I think they'll do some wonders, you know.
Yeah.
And the signing is weird because I don't know if you guys have followed the Sporting Lisbon legal drama going on.
He
rescinded his contract and... But Sporting is trying to sue Wolves and try to get a price for him. So, you know, follow that. But then, yeah, there's three or four other Sporting players that are basically just moving to clubs for free right now.
Yeah. Well, the Wolves need the help if they're going to compete in the Premier League and stay up, because we all know there's a lot of money in staying in the Premier League. Highest grossing TV deal, I believe. Continuing on that topic, which of these teams in the Premier League do you think needs the most help?
I was going to praise Newcastle, actually, for some of their signings. You know, I think it's really key for them to get Kennedy back and to lock down their keeper, Dubravka. But I will say, their signings so far, bringing in Key from Swansea, good, you know, midfielder, but they're still lacking attacking options, and I think that's going to be their undoing. If they're having trouble keeping Rafa there, if they can't get some decent wingers, a decent striker, I think that team's going to be in trouble, you know, to kind of put up goals.
Yeah, they've always had I think Mike Ashley is, like, just the type of owner just doesn't like to put the checkbook out, and I could just see some problems going on with that.
Well, I mean, but at the same point, too, like, I know for Newcastle and, you know, for their fan base, they're going to want to perform well. But realistically, what we're expecting them to finish?
Mid-table.
Mid-table. So.
Yeah. I want to see Everton, you know. Last year, they did spend a lot of money. It didn't work out well. They just brought in a new manager, Marco Silva. It's been relatively quiet. Over the weekend, they were linked with, I think it's going to go through, but Richarlison from Watford. Looks like he's going there for about 50 mil.
It's an insane figure for a player like him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this market is just, any player, if you're interested in a player that's like, you know, only has played at a club for a year, you know, he's got 4 years left on his contract. They can just, you know, put prices 50, 60 mil, and teams have the money to pay that. But they need other players. I mean, I think they need a striker. I think some more midfielders. Also, that's their defensive situation is not good, you know. And Jordan Pickford had a great World Cup, but Ashley Williams was pretty poor. Michael
Keane was
pretty poor.
That defense was terrible last year.
Jagielka, Leighton Baines, you know, they need to really shore that up.
I always say, Everton is a good team. And I know I get a lot of heat for it from my former host, Chris Barbank, and Jacob, who's not here. But look.
Because it's an asinine comment.
hate.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, you know, maybe Tottenham has figured out the magic, the secret sauce. You don't need to buy to be better. But that's a team that I just question, you know, altogether. I mean, they're a team that could potentially chance title-winning team. And you think they want to just strengthen up. They just want to get better. We saw Liverpool make a lot of signs. City's, you know, 100-point team. United is going to get better, and for them to just stay the same kind of seems like they've lost ambition. But
yeah, I mean, I always wonder, because they're moving into a new stadium, what their finances are. But it's weird because they have a very strong starting 11, but it's you know, what happens if Harry Kane gets injured? They need another guy that can, you know, get double digits scoring, and then you know, some other areas on that field as well. But You know, there's like 3 weeks left in the transfer window. The only player I think they've been linked with is Jack Grealish from Aston Villa.
I've seen that. Yeah, those are good rumors.
This is not going to cut it. I mean, it's a summer transfer. That is not going to cut it.
Yeah, so we'll see what they do. And I have this theory that, like, I mean, they didn't win the league, but they've been close. But I really do think that with the amount of money in the league now, you really do need to spend to win. I mean, obviously, Leicester City was an anomaly those years ago, but the teams that do win the league are the teams that spend and spend well. So,
Chris? I think the team that really needs to bring in a few more players has got to be Southampton. I've been taunted on Twitter over the last couple of days about some of my comments on some Southampton fans clearly attacking me, saying that I think they're in trouble because Tadic and Buffal out on loan, Tadic sold to Ajax. So two playmakers, guys that have the ability to get around players and create, although maybe not the best attitudes, and yet maybe they're not invested in games for 90 minutes, they still are players that can make things happen against, you know, good defenses. Those guys are gone. And really, you know, with a limited strike force and, you know, an aging Stephen Davies, they need someone to bring in goals. You know, they brought in Vestergaard. They brought in a couple other players. But I still think they're going to struggle to score goals. And with Mark Hughes, you know, a manager finishing 17th, avoiding relegation barely last season, I think they're in trouble.
Yeah. Well, you know, I completely agree with that because I do not think that team is good.
Do you know who they could be?
Yes.
Danny Ings. I think
one of these years you'll be right. One of these years they will get. Well, relegated.
I remember I got in a heated text or Facebook battle with Chris beginning of last season, and now he says Southampton's not good. But let's move on.
Last comment on that is, I mean, let's not forget they were very close to bringing in Daniel Sturridge, and that could happen before the end of the window too. You know, a player of his caliber, somebody along those lines, they could still bring in to save them from being the worst team in the league.
Speaking of transfer rumors and how the teams are gelling together, what do you guys think of these preseason matches? So I honestly, I'm not a big fan of this ICC and all this nonsense. I think it's a big marketing ploy. But at the same time, this is the last chance for real football these guys have before the season starts in a couple of weeks. Do you guys, you know, what have you thought about this performance that you've seen of Liverpool today or any of the other teams?
Yeah,
I guess I'll start. I mean, I don't mind preseason at all. I just am not going to be super invested in a lot of performances. I think it's great for some of the new players and new signings to begin to gel into the systems. I think it's good for youngsters to try and get some first team action, get to play with some of the first team players. And I think it's a good opportunity for managers to really get a feel on, you know, how these players fit into their systems. But for a lot of players, I think it also can hurt. I think we've seen even Loris Karius have, you know, some terrible mistakes in preseason games. We've seen results that really make no sense, and I'm not going to put no investment into those results. So, the biggest thing I think is annoying about it is the marketing. You know, you have ICC in the U.S., and these tickets are selling for $70, $80, $90, and the product at the end of the day is
pretty poor.
It's sure you get to go, you know, see a game with your family, but like you're also leaving there after spending $400.
Yeah. Well, the thing for me,
yeah. Chris, plus, you're not necessarily seeing the starting squad. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's probably the most annoying.
But Miles, that's the thing I don't understand is that, I mean, we see in the Premier League, City lost two games last season, right? The Premier League starts in two, three weeks, right? It's going to hit fast, and teams need to get up to speed and make sure they're not dropping points because you never know. It can make the difference come February, right? We have Karius' blunder today. We have teams who are not starting their players. We have Alexis Sanchez who's showing up, you know, and chilling, drinking champagne on the field. Like, you know, like, we don't, there's not a lot of time to waste here.
Yeah, I mean, but it's difficult. It's a World Cup year, you know. Teams, Spurs, City, United had a lot of players playing in the World Cup quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals, and they're just not. Like, if you looked at the lineup, I think City played Dortmund a few nights ago, and Riyad Mahrez was probably the only player that I could recognize. Even today with United, like, I watched the second half of, they had a preseason game against the Earthquakes, and, you know, it was nice to see some guys that, like Andres Pereira and Timothy Fosu-Mensah, who were out on loan. But a lot of teams, I think United and Spurs especially, we're going to see a very different team. And then until they get the rest of their players fit, Jose Mourinho basically confirmed yesterday that our backline is Luke Shaw, Chris Smalling, Eric Bailly, Valencia for the first month. And he seemed pretty upset that, like, look, I can't, you know, I can't do anything. Half my squad is away. Mm-hmm. And he was pretty, he sounded pretty definite. Like, this isn't the team that I want to use. So
let's be honest. The first day of the Premier League, all the teams come out with a bang. I mean, you know, I think maybe we can point to a couple of seasons ago where Mourinho's Chelsea squad didn't win any of their preseason games. And, you know, that led to them having a dreadful start to the season and Mourinho getting sacked. Maybe that's the only, like, event I can think of that has anything to do with their performance in the league. Yeah, but
I think there are other factors, you know, there, but
I don't really put much.
Yeah, don't take anything out of it.
Pay much attention to it at all.
Yeah. Chris and I, obviously being from Ann Arbor, United's playing Liverpool at the Big House, I think in a week or so, and the tickets are astronomical, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
And you're not seeing the best product, and it's not the best representation of the Premier League for, I guess, a new fan. You know, a new fan wants to see the big players or see an exciting game, and you're seeing.
Well, on that note, though, the ticket prices increasing is not just for ICC. I don't know if you guys saw the article about the clubs in the Premier League who are raising their season ticket fees. Spurs, I mean, and it kind of makes sense. You know, all the newly promoted teams are all, you know, double-digit percentages increase in terms of ticket prices for the season. But we saw the Spurs increase their ticket sales by 14%. City increased their ticket sales. West Ham, you know, so it's not just a matter of preseason. I think overall it's just becoming harder and harder for us fans to be at the games, which is a bit unfortunate, right?
Yeah. On that note, it sucks. Two clubs that are increasing their ticket prices for me really hurts, and that's Watford, who, you know, we went to go see live, and we felt like, you know, that small stadium at Vicarage Road, really, you know, the community, the loyal Watford supporters, people that go every week, you know, getting hit with ticket increases sucks. These are people who have been watching Watford for decades.
Yeah.
And then also Newcastle, which, you know, we already know Mike Ashley's reputation as an owner, and the amount of money that the ownership is willing to spend on players while just increasing, you know, ticket prices by 5%. It just sucks to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, definitely. You know, the teams, if those teams perform poorly, you know, we could see something like what happened at West Ham last year, where the fans start, you know, doing some pretty serious protests. So.
Well, West Ham also increased by 11%.
Oh,
exactly.
Well, there it is.
Yeah. Well, guys, listen, that's why we're watching the games from across the pond, and we can do our predictions from here. We don't need to be there in person spending hundreds and thousands of dollars. So when we come back, we'll talk prospects for the season as well as predictions for the season. Make sure everyone's on that prediction league and we get these jerseys out. Hey guys, so before we get Nate Marcus on and talk to him, I want to get a quick...
Who's Nate Marcus?
Yeah, I'm going to introduce him. So before Nate Marcus comes on, who's the winner of our World Cup bracket challenge, who's joining us this week to talk about his special predictions, I want to get a quick summary from you guys about your predictions for this year. If there's anything you need to mention, and who are the top prospects in the market. So for me, top prospects leaving would be Hazard. I think he's going to be gone from Chelsea, and I think that's why I don't have Chelsea performing that well this season. I have him outside the top four. Do you guys have any?
Yeah, I mean, I know Hazard is kind of, you know, I think mentioned that he'd like to go to Madrid. Obviously, Cristiano left. I think Courtois is more likely to leave just because of his contract situation. Like, I think it's going to be difficult to pull, like, with, you know, with Coutinho going for, I think, 142 mil, and with, I think Chelsea would have to ask for money like that, and with, like, you know, only a few weeks left. Well, actually, if he goes to Madrid, he has until August 31st, but I don't know if that transfer is going to happen. Sarri is a really interesting manager. I think he would stay, but I think Courtois is the guy that's going to leave.
Okay, interesting.
I think Hazard could move. I also think Willian is definitely destined to move. I think there's rumors of him linked with Barcelona. There's been rumors of him linked with Manchester United and reuniting with Mourinho. And I think, you know, he was definitely a player. Obviously, you got a new manager, so maybe there's the hope of, you know, maybe this guy will pick me finally. But I think if for a player like Willian, who's been quality for season, you know, in and out, and in my opinion, I think undervalued at a team like Chelsea, where we don't see him starting every match. I think if Barcelona comes knocking, he's going to go.
Okay.
Honestly, I think this player, the player I think is most destined to move, this summer is sort of a familiar face. He didn't play in the Premier League last season. He played in the Championship. But I have a feeling he'll move to a Premier League club this summer, and it'll be Adama Traore. You know, we saw him play with Aston Villa and Borough in the Premier League. He didn't play much in the Premier League with Villa, got a little more time with Borough. But this guy has ridiculous speed. We saw last season in the Championship, he had 10 assists. So he's improving his end products. He has so many dribbles a game. And I think, you know, if you add him to a team like a Leicester City, like an Everton, you know, like a Wolves, he could cause some problems. So, we got problems if he signs with one of those teams. I think, you who's know, we, and, you know, we, all of us, all of us, I think he could have a great season in the Premier League.
Yeah. That's a good point. That guy on the right team would really become a real serious talent. I think you're right.
Yeah. Well, just from a prediction standpoint, I don't think City is going to repeat. You know, no team has done it for about 10 years. And from everything that they're saying, Riyad Mahrez is looking like their only signing. And with the teams around them spending more and also knowing, not knowing necessarily how to beat them, but knowing how to play against them, I think that, you know, I won't say they may struggle, but I just don't see them trying to compete both in the Champions League and in the league and winning the Premier League next year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, a player that I think someone should look out for is Batshuayi. I don't see him staying at Chelsea. He was pretty good at Dortmund last year, and he's a striker. I think Chelsea would probably want to keep hold of him at least on loan, and I could see him going to like Everton, obviously Southampton. Mm-hmm. Burnley, many teams. So that's a guy we got to pay attention to.
Speaking of top strikers, you know Musa is coming back to the Premier League. So
Ahmed Musa?
Yeah.
He's not a top striker.
He's a top striker for me. I don't know.
Nigeria?
Yeah. Well, you know,
he's retired.
Actually, Shay, wow. I think the best thing for Musa is that Mahrez has left Leicester.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like that he now, if he doesn't feel, you know, that's left open to him to be that creative player on that team. And that's exactly what they need if they're losing Mahrez. Like, yeah, the dude showed he was quality in the World Cup.
Well, I mean, thank you, Miles, for putting some thought behind that, but I was kind of joking. I didn't actually think he was a top prospect. I'm curious to see how this Harry Maguire World Cup thing works out.
There's links with United, and United's crazy enough to spend 50, 60 mil on him. Exactly. I think he's a great player, but, like, you know.
I mean, look, center back is the most coveted position because there's very few of them who you can trust and you know you want to pay money for. That's why we saw VVD go for so much last season. And Harry Maguire and Trippier made a huge name for themselves with the World Cup. So I can see Harry Maguire with, what does Jake call him, Slaphead, or is that Max? I can see him going to one of these top teams and spending a lot of
reports saying that he's going to be definitely. That United is we were focusing on getting a left back, but we're not doing that anymore, and our main focus is getting Harry Maguire. So take that as you will, but I think he's a good player, but it's hard to, I mean, he's had a good year, but I just look at his World Cup experience, and I just think you shouldn't judge a player just on the World Cup. So
I think another signing that everybody has to keep their eyes on is Mitrovic. You know, I think, you know, is he going to land with Fulham? Is Newcastle going to hold on to him? And is Rafa going to, you know, succumb to playing him on the field? I mean, that guy has ridiculous talent, and he will score, you know, 10, 12, 15 goals this season, no matter which team he plays.
Yeah, you love that guy, Chris. So. You have his, you know, you don't have his jersey. You just have a Fulham jersey. But you love that. I mean, I will say I have been converted because I hear his name so much in this pod. I think it would be a big season for all Fulham, to be honest. I've become a fan of the club after we got to see them play in person.
Yeah.
Our prediction league is on crossthepond.com/predictions. The winner, as we always do, gets a jersey and gets to be on the pod for a 10-minute segment or so to boast about themselves and anything they may have going on soccer-related. We'll end it here, and then when we come back, we'll get Nate Marcus on to talk about his prediction of the World Cup and how he won the jersey that we'll be sending him shortly. So, guys, we have on Nate Marcus, the World Cup bracket winner. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Not bad, not bad.
What's up, Nate?
Great.
Nate, so this is a tough moment for me because I predicted myself winning the whole thing. But, you know, In typical ATP fashion, we have to give credit where credit's due, and that consists of you joining us to talk about how you predicted such an amazing bracket. What was the inside scoop? What magic did you have?
Sure, I didn't look at anyone else's bracket. I don't know if you could, but I had Croatia in the semifinals. I thought that was a little bit of a dark horse pick because I thought it was easy to see that Argentina would finish second in that group. They were crumbling a little bit, and I saw Croatia pretty much dominate Spain a couple years ago at Euro, and I thought maybe they could get past them. And when I saw and obviously they played Russia and not Spain, so that was a little bit of a break.
Yeah. So Nate, you had
and I two, picked the winner.
You had a total of 219 points.
Who for you was you said Croatia was your major pick. What other picks really surprised you in your bracket that you got right?
Nothing really surprised me. I mean, the whole left side of the bracket pretty much went chalk as I picked, like as I thought I would all the group winners. I had Brazil in the semifinals, but one game didn't kill it. But on the right side, I had Germany going to the final. So that I thought when they got eliminated, that was going to be a killer. But didn't end up too bad.
And you said you had France winning it as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have any hesitance on picking France after they tied that USA team with like a bunch of youngsters in it? Because that's what happened to me. After I watched that game, I was like, I think they're going to struggle.
Yeah. I didn't really see that game, actually, because I was at work while it was on. So,
smart move.
I mean, I saw the result. I didn't think too much of it as a pre-tournament friendly.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're a relatively big, like, kind of a big deal, but I didn't think too much of it. I thought they were the most talented team there, top to bottom. So that's why I picked them to win.
So, Nate, I mean, obviously the winner of this bracket gets a jersey of their choice. So can you tell the listeners, you know, what jersey you're going to go with and why?
I picked the Eden Hazard Belgium jersey, mostly because when I was first exposed to FIFA, Chelsea was always the team that I played with, and Eden Hazard was always the guy for their team. I think it was FIFA 15. So that's why I picked him. And he's one of my favorite players to watch. I mean, he's incredibly entertaining.
You think he's going to stay at Chelsea?
For this season, maybe. I've seen a lot of rumors. I think Real Madrid's going to put a big bid for him, obviously. But I'm not sure. Chelsea might resist that. He's really important to them.
Good choice, Nate. I...
Thanks.
Also, I'm a partial fan of Hazard. I don't think the Belgium jersey is a great jersey to have, honestly. I think the colors are kind of nasty, but I feel you.
Is it the yellow one?
Yeah. Or the red? Which one do you ask for?
The red. The red. I like the classic red one.
I like that.
You like that jersey?
I think you got to go with the Argyle at home.
Nate, thank you for not selecting the Nigeria jersey because that has been impossible for all of us to find. So we appreciate you not making this too hard.
They didn't make any more?
Not that I know of. So, Nate, question everyone wants to know now is, are you going to be joining our season prediction league? And do you think you're going to be able to run it back and win that as well?
I think I'm going to have to join the season prediction league for the EPL. I'm going to follow it a lot more closely than I have in years past. And, yeah.
Well, honestly, I'm getting sick of paying for other people's jerseys, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to be able to run it back, but I'm going to try my best.
Nate, what...
came up with this jersey thing the year after I won the prediction league, so you know, something's going on there.
Nate, what club team do you support?
I don't really have a club team. I just kind of enjoy watching the Premier League and the Champions League. If I had to pick one, it would probably be Tottenham. I really like and I really enjoy watching them play. Harry Kane's fun to watch. Christian Eriksen's fun to watch. I like their style.
Yeah, fair enough. During the World Cup, did you have any... like, what was just like your favorite game that you saw?
My favorite game that I saw, I thought the Brazil-Belgium game quarterfinal was incredibly entertaining, but just based on some of the goals that I saw that were scored, I thought the Uruguay-Portugal game was unbelievable. The first goal, the combination between Suarez and Cavani, and then the second goal that Cavani had was just beautiful to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Roberto Martinez, great manager or complete flop?
He is terrible.
Well, Jacob would be very happy.
Turns everyone into a wing back, right?
Yep.
You heard it first.
Jacob would agree with that statement fully. So, Nate, thanks a lot again. We appreciate you joining the bracket and also listening to the pod. And
yeah, congratulations.
Hopefully,
thank you for having me on.
We will not be seeing you win the prediction league because that would be myself. But if you do, then we would love to have you back on again.
I'd love to be back. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Cheers, man.
Take it easy.
Well, guys, it's been a great pod. I can't say that Chris does have a hard job hosting, but he is accompanied by such fine gentlemen of the game, so it really can't be that hard. Chris, it is your birthday day, and do you want to tell us your wishes for the season or anything else you may want to say?
Sure. I'm really not a big birthday guy, but since you gave me the floor, I will have to say my number one wish for the season, which I'm hopefully will be granted for my birthday, is that all Manchester United fans stop being entitled, stubborn fans, unrealistic fans,
wow.
and that they handle the Mourinho sacking this year very well. Because it's going to happen.
Well, actually, no, I agree with you. I'm not going to say Man United fans are on this podcast, but I will say there is an entitlement Chris. Amongst United fans.
Chris, it's hard.
And it's not
hard.
All Manchester United fans. It's not all Manchester United fans. See, it's just you two, to be honest.
Well, when you've won the most titles in the Premier League, it's hard not to feel entitled, Chris. And I know for Liverpool, that's tough to say.
Fair.
You know, because you guys were dealing with the likes of Ivanovic and Babel for many years, and now you finally have signed some big players, so you feel
Poulsen.
Entitled.
Don't forget about Poulsen, man. Yeah, but,
you know. No. In all reality, though, my biggest wish, though, is you know, I'm just ready for another exciting season. I hope it's not you know, another record-breaking season. You know, City won by how many points? 19 points this past year. So I just hope it's a little closer this time around. You know, I hope we have a good top four race. I hope we have a good relegation race. You know, standard but excitement. You know,
yeah.
I don't want, you know, I don't want another Manchester City repeat either. I hope, you know, it goes to a team that hasn't won in a few years. So
Liverpool? I'm not gonna say that.
Yeah, like Liverpool.
I'm saying
that'd
that.
Be great.
They're.
I'm not gonna say it.
I know you don't want to jinx it, but I mean they're my favorite to win the league, and I'm a United fan, so I'm putting that out there.
Just look out for Naby Keita. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, this signing. Naby Keita is gonna have high expectations from anyone who listens to this podcast. Chris has not stopped talking about him. Same with Miles and Jacob. But I'm excited to see what Liverpool does. I think they made the biggest moves and they put themselves in the best situation to challenge City. But with that, you know, Mourinho is dangerous. He's a bad man. He's a bad man, so you got to watch out for United.
We'll see him.
So, okay, with that, Chris, you may have to lace up those new Adidas cleats you just bought because it looks like United maybe needs some defenders.
Adidas Shadow Series.
Exactly. Adidas, get Chris Bobbank, the NPR, ATP, creative extraordinaire. Get him a contract. Get him some cleats.
Yeah, sign him up. As well.
But, guys, it's been great. Thank you for letting me host. If you enjoyed this, please listen to the Miles and Shay show. We hate Chris. Is that right, Miles? That's right.
That's right. Chris and Jacob.
Chris and Jacob, yeah. We hate Chris and Jacob's show.
Yeah, it's a team effort. Yeah.
And after that, stay tuned for the next pod. You can catch us, Chris. What's your typical outro? You can catch us on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes.
SoundCloud.
Zoom Marketplace, man.
Zoom Marketplace. We make office visits if you want to give us lunch. You know, we'll come in a city near you. But thanks, guys.
Yeah.